ABC Listen.
Schönen Abend noch. Good night.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Oh, das hat super geschmeckt. The food there was so good.
Oh, I know. Also, Carl, when did you get so good at speaking German?
Yeah, we'd really be struggling here in Germany if you weren't with us.
Oh, well, you know, my name is Carl, right? It's a very German name, so I think it just means I've got a natural-born knack for all things German.
I see. Not sure that's a thing, Carl. Oh, it is so cold out here. I'm going to put on all my layers. Eleanor, you got your gloves?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I got them here somewhere. Oh, here they are.
Well, what did you think it'd be like here, deep in the heart of the Black Forest, the Schwarzwald, in southern Germany, in the middle of winter?
Now, is everyone rugged up? Let's get going. Okay, we don't have too far to go to that spooky, old-timey wooden guest house you booked for us, Carl.
It's not spooky, it's just full of old-world charm.
I mean, it looks like a witch's house right out of a Brothers Grimm fairy tale. They even have creepy little dolls everywhere.
It's authentic, Eleanor. Also, it was the perfect accommodation choice for a research trip for this fairy tale season of Short and Curly.
True. We're here for that traditional fairy tale vibe.
Yeah, and those old fairy tales were often set in this exact place, the Black Forest, the enchanted heart of Germany, where ancient legends whisper through the trees and fairy tales come to life. But seriously, Carl, the dolls are overkill.
Aha! Here's that rickety old sign to the hotel. And wait a second, we came from the right, didn't we? I mean, this sign's just no help. It's not really pointing in either direction.
Oh, I wasn't really paying attention.
Neither. I was just following you, Carl, and it all looks so different in the dark.
Well, look, I think the guest house is up this way.
Okay, let's just do it. We can always walk back if it's the wrong way.
Okay, but it's already so dark here now that the sun's gone down. I'm glad I brought my torch at least. Let there be light. Well, that's a bit of light, I guess.
All right, let's roll. Okay, by the way, you two, I was doing some research earlier about the story of Little Red Riding Hood. Did you know that there are actually different versions with different endings?
Really?
Yeah. So, like, you know, the classic Little Red Riding Hood, right?
Sure. The little girl, she's in the red cape, bringing food to her sickly grandmother in the woods.
And then Little Red Riding Hood meets a sneaky, ravenous wolf. That wolf goes and gobbles up the grandmother before the little girl can get to the grandma's cabin and pretends to be her grandmother.
Then Riding Hood arrives and finds her grandmother in the bed. But she's looking pretty funky. Not because she's sick, but because she's the wolf in disguise.
And Red Riding Hood gets gobbled up too.
Exactly. But here's the interesting part. The one in the famous Brothers Grimm fairy tales has a happy ending where a hunter comes to save her and the grandmother. But not all versions ended like that.
Other versions didn't have a happy ending?
Nope. There's an older French version of the story where the wolf just eats her and then goes to sleep. End of story. No one gets saved.
Whoa. That is dark.
Totally. But I guess they needed to make a point back then.
What point?
Well, I mean, as we all know, a lot of fairy tales were there to scare children into paying attention to important lessons. And in this case, that kids probably shouldn't walk through the woods by themselves because they might come across a wolf.
Honestly, I'm so glad wolves aren't around here anymore. I'd be totally freaking out if they were and we were just walking through wolf country and...
Oh, actually, they are.
Sorry, what now?
So there's been a whole bunch of work to bring wolves back, to restore the balance of ecosystems, including here in the Black Forest.
Carl,
you aren't serious.
Yeah, but it's fine. They actually try to avoid people, and they've barely caused any problems.
Barely?
Well, I guess in some places they do eat farm animals.
Carl!
Why didn't you tell us earlier?
And why the heck are we out here walking at night through wolf country?
Because we're here to do proper research for today's episode of Short and Curly. We're asking, why are wolves always such baddies in fairy tales?
Hello, and today you're listening to...
Short, you're listening to Short and Curly.
And Curly.
Yay!
Short and Curly.
early.
This path feels different to the one we took to get to the restaurant. Don't walk too far ahead of me, Eleanor. I want to stay in your torchlight.
Oh, sorry. Is this better? It's not a very powerful torch.
It's a bit better, but we're still lost on some forest path surrounded by grandma-eating wolves. I'm starting to freak out.
Okay, let's all calm down with a little thinking question.
Remember, you can pause the show here to chat or just think.
Or to just stop freaking out. And the question is, there are wolves in lots of fairy tales, and maybe you've read some of them. What kind of role do the wolves have in those stories?
Hit pause now.
And let's see what our brains trust makes of that question too.
Well, they're like stereotypically the bad guy.
There's the wolf and the three little pigs, and he's just trying to eat the pigs for a meal because he's hungry.
So if you call someone a wolf, you could be saying that they eat a lot.
The boy who cried wolf.
The wolf in Little Red Riding Hood.
I think it's just like a pretty early form of kind of a stereotype.
Wolves are usually like displayed bad because like probably in the old days, like it's all forests and there's like wolves, and then like sometimes they attack the people. So I think it's usually portrayed as bad.
Well, back then, so that the children would be scared of wolves and try to avoid them, they put that into the children's stories.
People are always in this story, so it's like, oh no, the wolves eat sheep and stuff, but it's like, we also eat sheep.
They're often just being a bit unfair to the wolves because they're not trying to be annoying, they're just trying to go about their everyday lives.
I think that it is kind of fair because, like, to us, they're bad guys, but, like, maybe to them, we're the bad guys and they make stories about us murdering children and stuff.
Well, it's pretty clear a lot of these old European fairy tales were kind of scary.
Totally. And really, wolves are almost always the bad guys in those. Just think about the three little pigs.
Oh, yeah, that wolf would do anything to eat those pigs.
Exactly. And then there's the boy who cried wolf. That ended badly.
True.
And in all of these stories, the wolf is always this sneaky, villainous predator who just wants to eat everything and everyone.
Well, I'm as frightened of wolves as you are, Molly. But I gotta admit, Carl's kind of making a good point. Fairy tales weren't just relaxing bedtime stories. They were meant to scare kids into learning important lessons. In the olden days, that was stuff like always shut the gate behind your livestock. Never go into dark forests alone. Kind of like what we're doing right now.
Sorry again about that, but kids probably need different life lessons now anyway, right?
Right, these days we might come up with stories to teach you to always stand back from the edge of the train platform or never get in a car with a grown-up you don't know. But back then, the threats were different.
Yeah, the threats were wolves.
Right, so we came up with this image of wolves as mean and evil because it was useful. It was a way of keeping kids safe. Compare wolves to, like, lions. Lions are just as big and toothy and able to eat us. But fairy stories that come from Europe don't really have lions as villains. Sometimes the lion is even the good guy.
Like Aslan from The Lion, the Witch and the Wardrobe.
But when you realise you only believe something because it was a useful story, you suddenly have a choice about whether to keep believing it or not. So maybe wolves are due for a makeover? Maybe wolves could get to be the heroes, like lions?
Thank you, Eleanor. See, Molly?
But on the other hand...
What's this?
Oh, that looks like a
paw print.
No way.
Yes way, and get me away from here right now, please.
Molly, stay calm and stop rapping. Yes, it's a paw print, but who's to say it's from a wolf?
Okay, survival skills time. Quick, cover yourselves in mud and leaves and twigs. It'll mask your scent, trust me.
Molly, I don't think we need to go that far. Come on, let's just walk a little faster and get back to the guest house as soon as possible.
What
is that?
There's something coming down the path.
It's too dark to make it out, but it looks big.
Yeah, yeah.
Stay away.
Oh, hello.
Oh, it's not a wolf. Wait, they can disguise themselves, like in Little Red Riding Hood.
No, Molly, they can't.
You, sir, are you a man or a wolf?
I am wolf.
A wolf in disguise, Seacole.
No, Wolfgang. My name is Wolfgang, and I am so sorry. I have a terrible cough at the moment.
Oh, no. I'm so sorry, Wolfgang. My friends Molly and Eleanor and I, we're just a bit tense right now.
Well. That's very understandable. You must always keep your wits about you in the Black Forest, especially at night.
See, Carl, it's dangerous here.
Now then, I have a question for you. Have any of you seen a small fluffy dog? His name is Strudel. He's a Pomeranian, and he went running off from my house over there.
Oh, wow. Your place looks just like a gingerbread house.
Straight out of Hansel and Gretel.
Why, thank you. That is a big compliment in these parts.
But no, sorry, Wolfgang, we haven't seen any little dogs. We did see a paw print back there on the path.
Are you serious? Was it a wolf's?
Oh, maybe?
Obviously, it's a good thing for the whole ecosystem to have wolves back. But still, we must always be careful. Oh, I hope little Strudel is okay. I better go. And you better get back to your hotel. Guten Abend.
Tschüss, and good luck.
Carl?
Look, he's right. We should be careful, but there have only been a handful of wolf attacks on humans in Europe in the past couple of decades.
Oh, well, that's a handful more than I'd like to hear about right now.
Okay, fair. But at the end of the day, Molly, wolves aren't that different to dogs. And remember, you love dogs of all sizes, big and small.
I do love dogs. No. A few thousand years of evolution has made dogs much less dangerous and aggressive around us humans.
Okay, Mama, let's just take a step back here. It kind of feels like you assume wolves are just out to kill everyone based on some pretty out-of-date information.
And
that means you're basically just stereotyping here. Something you would never do to other people, but that you seem very comfortable doing to poor old wolves.
You literally just said that they sometimes attack people.
Well, Carl has, again, made a pretty interesting point here.
Thank you. I make a point of making interesting points, but I'll pretend you didn't sound surprised.
I appreciate that. We usually don't like to make generalizations about what a person's like, just from what type of person they are. Think about how annoying it is when people say, all girls like this, or all boys do that. Here's an example. Even if 4 out of every 5 girls did like, say, flowers, we still wouldn't really like it if someone said, well, you're a girl, so you must like flowers. But it seems kind of different when we make generalizations about animals. If 4 out of every 5 wolves ate people, we'd think it was totally fine to say, as a generalization, wolves eat people.
4 out of 5?
I said if. The question is, what's the difference between generalizing about people and generalizing about animals?
Is it about whether they pose a danger to us then?
Well, you might think, but it still seems horrible to say something like, 4 out of every 5 people with red hair commit crimes, so redheads are criminals.
Oh, now I have to be scared of redheads as well? That's why they say caught red-handed.
No, you don't. I made that up. But sometimes our generalizations about animals are even weirder. Sometimes we put human characteristics onto animals. Lots of our stories across the years show wolves as sneaky or deceitful, or cats as proud and haughty, but those are human characteristics. But we make those kinds of generalizations all the time. It's called anthropomorphizing. Owls get cast as wise, or donkeys as stubborn, or chickens as stupid, when those are human traits.
That's so true. Though cats should be proud and haughty because they're the best animals. Viva la cat. Oh, wait, look, I think I recognize that tree.
Same, the big spooky gnarled one. Oh, thank goodness, we're almost out of these deep, dark woods.
Okay, we can't be too far now. So let's just focus on getting back as soon as possible. And we can distract ourselves a bit with another thinking question.
Great idea. Eleanor, have you got a curly one for us to ponder?
Sure. My question is, think about the animals in the world around you. Maybe animals you've seen in the zoo, or in a national park, or even your own pets. What kinds of assumptions do you make about their personality because of the type of animal they are?
Hit pause now.
Oh look, there's some light up ahead. See, down there in the valley. Do you think that's our hotel?
I sure hope so. Come on.
This is much further than I remember. Momo's little legs are tired. So slippery too. Well, as we make our way down this snowy slope, let's hear what our Brains Trust had to say about animal stereotypes.
I think that, like, every singular animal has, like, a different personality. It's not like, oh, all wolves are scary, like, all capybaras are friendly.
People are unique as well. Like, if you're a certain gender or, like, a certain anything, that doesn't change you. So if you're a certain species, that shouldn't change you either.
I think that, like, people are scared of animals and, like, especially, like, insects and stuff just because in the olden days, if you found something new, you would be scared. So just humans just learn to be scared of things that don't look normal.
There's also stereotypes like magpies. Oh, no, they swoop you. That's very bad. But then, like, they're only trying to defend their nests. Like, they're just trying to do what's best for themselves and their families.
I had this cat that was like, I really liked them and I'm pretty sure they liked me back, hopefully. It once went to lick my hand and then it bit me on the face. So I kind of feel like you can't really tell.
I'm scared of sharks because they're in the ocean and they can just bite you. And they have like jaws and other stuff all about sharks eating people.
Over time, like this stereotype, a stereotype always builds up. It's because it's kind of like what the filmmakers want us to see. They want to see that in movies or TV shows because that's what they're used to.
Oh, wow, that was steep. We've definitely taken the scenic route back from town.
But we're almost at the guest house now. Thanks so much for getting me through that. I thought for sure we were going to be eaten by...
No way.
Ah!
No, multiple wolves. It sounds like a couple of them at least.
We're gonna get munched on by a wolf pack.
Don't move. Just stand up tall and make yourself look big.
Yes, keep your arms out, everyone. It might help scare them off.
Molly, I'm so sorry. I should have listened to you. I should have been more scared of wolves.
It's okay. I don't forgive you. Know that before we die. Any final words?
I guess... just a big thanks to creator and producer of Short and Curly, Kyla Slavin. You've kept us alive this long, Kyla. Sorry that you have to find new hosts now.
Yeah, and thanks to Candace Docker and the whole ABC Kids and Family team. Even though by sending us on this research trip, they actually sent us to get eaten.
Oh, and thanks also to Craig Tillmouth. I really hope you found Little Strudel.
And thank you to our Brains Trust, Martina, Harper, Alice, Emin, and Boya from Summer Hill Public School in Sydney. We hope you didn't get eaten too.
Okay. Goodbye, cruel world!
Oh, it's you three again.
Wait, Wolfgang?
Yes, and just over there hiding in that bush behind you is Strudel. I finally found the poor little fellow. I guess he got spooked and ran off. Oh, come here, my darling. Sorry, it seems little Strudel has this cold too. We both sound very scratchy today.
Wolfgang, we thought you were wolves.
Oh, I'm sorry. I can't imagine why, though. Anyway, I hope you have a great time here in our beautiful, majestical Black Forest. Stay safe.
Wait, so we're gonna live?
We're alive!
Oh, you two, what a night. Come on, let's get back to that spooky hotel and have some cocoa by the fire.
And never speak of wolves while out walking in a German forest late at night ever again.
Woof, woof.
And if you'd like to listen to more Short and Curly episodes dealing with our canine companions, why don't you check out our episode about pugs?
Should they even exist?
Not to mention our episode about whether it's ever okay to eat your pet, where we hear from a real-life dog-eating person.
And that mini bites episode about whether it's ever okay to put your dog's poo into someone else's bin.
Oh, yeah. We actually do a lot of dog episodes, don't we?
Not nearly enough, in my opinion.
So make sure to check them out and leave us a review if you like them. Or if you didn't like those episodes and you want more cat content, that's absolutely something I can get behind too.
Meow.
This is an ABC Kids podcast. For more awesome stories or to learn something new, go to the Kids tab of the ABC Listen app.